Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and blessings, and I want to welcome you to the Lover Carpet today. I am really excited about my special guest coming on to the Lover Carpet. I know I say that every time, and of course I really am excited about the talents that dare to step on the Lover Carpet. But today, this lady is very, very special to me. And once I bring her on the line, you definitely will understand. I'm opening up with just a little short piece of Stephen Jerome Ferguson's piece called Look Inside. I think it was kind of an appropriate piece to choose because what I like to do on the Lover Carpet is to kind of look inside of the life and of the creative soul that dares to step on the carpet with me and find out who they are, why they create what they create, where it comes from, you know, what their projects are, where they're going with their craft and all of that. So today we are doing that with a dear, dear friend of mine, an amazing author by the name of Bea Berry. So let me bring Bea Berry in right now. Welcome to the Lover Carpet, Bea Berry.
Hi, how are you? It's so good to finally get on your show.
I know it. I know we were kind of talking about that briefly, you know, because we go way, way back.
We go way back.
And, you know, why this hasn't happened, I don't know. You know what? I'm just going to say today, it wasn't meant to happen until now.
No.
I don't think that people really know, you know, how far we go back. We go back to the days of MySpace, when MySpace was popular, but also I was very blessed to have you as one of the very first authors that, you know, I reviewed as a professional book reviewer. And so, so, you know, we go way back, and I have always been intrigued by your style of writing. I know that your new book that is out, re-release of Clothesline Blues, is what we really want to talk about. But, you know, I just want to touch on Even Numbers right quick, if that's okay. This is a book I have said over the years that it's a really important book for single mothers to read. And I think I will always say that because I think it's an important read. And I think that one of the things that you do in your writing through all of your books is that even though it's maybe, you know, based on drama, scenarios, mystery, whatever, there are messages in there. And maybe that's just because I go a different direction with how I experience art, maybe versus somebody else. But, of course, with Even Numbers, women, even if you're married.
That book really surprised me, too, because I wrote it as fiction, loosely based on a true story of a dear friend.
Okay.
And and sort of did it as therapy for her, you know, mm-hmm. and for me as far as understanding her issues.
Okay.
But when I wrote the book and did a little tour up in Atlanta in that area, I was amazed at the women that would come up to me and start telling their stories. And
right.
so that's when I really realized the need for more of those stories to come out in the way that Even Numbers did, you know, without
mm-hmm.
bashing anybody and offering information, helpful information. So,
right.
you know,
No, and for those of you out there, especially women, I mean, I would recommend it to men too, but I think especially women,
yeah.
especially women that are in the dating scene that have children.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's really, really aware, you know, it's really important for you to be aware of who you bring
mm-hmm.
into your life and the life of your children. And I think
mm-hmm.
that if you love to read, Even Numbers is a great book for you to read. I mean, it grabs you and takes you into a scenario. It may make you a little angry, but I think
mm-hmm.
that you'll come out of it with your eyes a little bit more open and just
right.
being aware. And I love that about your writing because, you know, my background before I became Lady Flavor is I was a domestic violence advocate. And so it was
right.
always about teaching women to be aware, looking for those red
exactly.
flags, the warning signs, being aware of your
mm-hmm.
environment. And, you know, we as women, we will cloud our own eyes, you know, to things
exactly,
that
we
could turn around and say, man, I should have known better.
And even more so today, even though we see, it seems like we see so many more of these stories because of the way the media operates these days,
mm-hmm.
but there still is this thing about family secrecy, you know.
Right.
So many women won't talk about it. And
mm-hmm.
like I was saying, when I did the book tour, men were coming up to me and buying the book saying, oh, I'm going to get this book for my wife or my
mm-hmm.
sister or my girlfriend, you know.
Nice.
So everybody's
nice.
Been touched in some way, and it's sad to say that we all know someone who's been through rape and molestation
sure.
or we ourselves have, you know, it's touched us personally.
Right, definitely.
So,
so then going into the next books, you know, which was Cold Crazy and Cold Serial.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how did those books become birthed? You know, because I talk to music. You know that I deal
mm-hmm.
with a lot of music talent. So I sit there and I'm
right.
like, okay, where does your music come from? Well, they all pretty much say something personal, even if it's just an instrumental, even if it's like the piece that
yeah.
I opened with from Stephen Jerome Ferguson. There's a story
yeah.
behind the concept. And so I thought about that, you know, when I was going to have you step on the leopard carpet, like, where does this stuff come from? And so I understand
yeah.
with Even Numbers. I get that.
Yeah.
But where uh-huh. does the story Cold, Crazy, and Cold Serial come from?
I don't, you know what? Honestly, Even Numbers was more personal, and Clothesline Blues, I had a little bit of experience in that.
Mm-hmm.
But for the two in the Cold series, Cold Crazy and Cold Serial, it was more my mood during that time.
Okay, okay.
You know, I was in, you know, sometimes you do talk to artists all the time, and even
mm-hmm.
painters and music and stuff. It's
mm-hmm.
almost like you get this burst where you can't contain yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you just write, and like I wrote feverishly for both books.
Okay.
You know? Whereas Even Numbers, it was more research, and I was trying to be careful. And with Clothesline Blues, there's a lot of history, and I had to do a lot of
mm-hmm.
research and be more precise.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
with the two in the Cold series, it was just a blast. It was so much fun.
You know, really?
To put that
okay.
out there. It was just crazy.
Okay.
It was just
right.
crazy.
So if you don't know Bea Berry or, you know, okay, we're just going to say it, Barbara Grosvenor. You know,
right.
I'm sitting here like, am I going to call her Bea Berry? Like, I have never called
yeah,
her Bea Berry.
That's
you
my
know?
New thing. I'm all my books are under Bea Berry these days, but you know me.
I know. It's like people like, your name's really Susan? It's not Lady
yeah,
Flavor?
Yeah, exactly.
It's just like, okay, that's just kind of odd. I'm like, okay, no, be good. Call her Bea Berry.
Mm-hmm.
But those books were really interesting because I love, like, the CSI shows and
yes,
Law and
yes.
Order shows and things
mm-hmm.
like that. And so it
mm-hmm.
those shows kind of, like, took me there. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you know. And I found myself
yeah.
reading them and, like, okay, now can I predict the next move? You know,
right,
what's going
right.
to happen next? And I
right.
enjoyed that about those books. But I have to tell you, I know I have this confession to you, and you know it, that I've been having a struggle, reading. And
yes.
I'm going to blame it on menopause. I'm just going to keep it real. I'm going to blame it on the menopause. But, my children say, Mom, you blame everything on menopause. I'm going to blame it on menopause. I am, because I think one of the symptoms is, lack of concentration. Now, you might say, okay, Flavor, how could that really be? Well, see, being Lady Flavor and doing the things that I do, I can bounce around doing a whole bunch of things.
But when
I have to sit and focus on something, I have to sit and focus on something. So guess what?
Well, let me just lend a little validity to that, because when I have three children, and every time I was pregnant, I could not read a book.
Yeah?
For nine months. I would open a book. I would read the same chapter over and over again, trying to absorb it. I just put it down. As soon as I have that baby, I can read. So it is something to do with hormones and body changes and, lack of concentration because of that.
I knew that you were my seasoned soul sister, because, I knew you felt my pain. I knew that we were, in the same place. But the funny thing is, as you know, that when I started out, years ago as a book reviewer for APU and stuff, I could read 2-3 books in a week. And it was the perfect timing, because I started it when I was at, when I opened Flavor Coffee House. And so it was the perfect thing to do, because when it was quiet at the coffee house, I could read, books. And then I was like, what really happened here? But I just want you to know, I read your book in less than 24 hours. I just want you to know.
I was like,
this is so wrong for me to have her come on my show and I haven't read the book yet, right? And so I read it in less than 24 hours. And
goodness.
Girl, you put a whole bunch of elements into this book. And so I'm speaking on Clothesline Blues. This is Clothesline Blues. And that's pretty much the main reason that B. Berry, Barbara Grosvenor, is on the show with me today, is because we want to talk about this new book. And she is under a new publishing company, which is called Vigilante Publishing Group. So why don't you just first tell us a little bit how you, came to be with the publishing company.
I started out in 07, actually 06, published with another publishing company out of New York in 07. And things didn't work out so well, and I finally left them. And then I wrote the two in the Cold series and tried to self-publish. And I'm a person with no money for that. I can't afford it. It's very expensive to self-publish and then to market. And marketing, I'm just really not interested in. I don't know what it is. I'm just not good at putting myself out there and following up on it. And so in the meantime, I had friended Jen. She's an editor at Vigilante. And got to know her over the last couple of years, and Eric. And finally, they kind of came together after having a couple of hard knock stories themselves and created Vigilante Publishing Group. And I immediately signed on, because they're people of quality, and I knew that, going in. Jeff Gaffney does the graphics for the books, and he did a fabulous job on the cover of Clothesline Blues and helped with the editing. Jen did the editing, and Eric runs the whole show. So this is in marketing. So it's fabulous. It's a fabulous team that I can seriously rely on and not be, not worry about it.
Right. I definitely can understand that, because I know that, even though we may not, verbally communicate and stuff, but I do know that it's really hard to market on your own. And
it
this is a conversation that I have frequently with creative souls that, at this point, a lot of them, and I'll even say for myself, because, when it comes to, the Flavor News part and this and that, I pretty much, do it on my own. And so... When you take on that role of wearing all hats of what it takes to be successful in what you're doing, it's really, really difficult. Like you say, a lot of it comes down to either having the right connections that are going to help you, or it comes down to being able to pay for, the tools that you need to get out further. And so I'm so happy for you to be able to get on with a team
thank
that's
you.
definitely helping. I know it's so funny because when Eric reached out to me about you coming on my show, I'm assuming that he saw probably that I was posting about your book and that we were connected.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't think he even knows how far back, Barbara and I go, because, I know the stories about the first publishing company and redoing the books and all of that. I think that, artists cannot call me when I'm doing a feature. that's not supposed to happen. I kind of love the fact that maybe not everybody knows the stories. And I think that's what makes some of what I do interesting, is that people don't necessarily know who I'm connected to. People don't know how far that Barbara Grosvenor and I go back. So I thought this is really going to be fun to have you come on the show. But, so let's just delve into Clothesline Blues.
Okay.
Now, it's very clear that you had to do your research and that there were certain things that, you needed and wanted to be on point with, especially talking about the civil rights movement. But why don't you just kind of give us, a little bit, a short synopsis of what the book is about and really, where was it birthed? Like, what pushed you to want to write this?
I think it was just the era itself during the 60s, and the movement and the stories that swirl around that. Most of us pretty much know about those stories, but the story is basically and mainly about two women that bonded during that time. And during the 60s, we're on the fringes of Jim Crow and all of that, and they were having man problems. And, back then, black women could call the police and they wouldn't take them seriously, especially if it was a domestic problem. So a lot of women matters into their own hands, and that's what these two women did. And meanwhile, the civil rights movement is kind of swirling in the background with Bloody Sunday and, marching for the right to vote and things like that. And but it mainly focuses on what this dynamic duo is up to. And it gets kind of crazy and hairy and a little quirky at times, but it's a good story.
It is a good story.
I think people can identify with it. Yeah, people can identify.
And that's what I was going to say next. See, I think that because of where I am, I don't know if it's in my age, if it's where I am in how I experience art now, how I listen to music, how I read books or whatever.
Right.
It wasn't like I could say, I was going to say that I couldn't relate to the women. But it was like, I totally understand the mindset.
Yes.
I totally was like, man, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I appreciated about it is there is a child that's involved, And this is proof. That you just don't really know, what your children know.
Right, exactly.
And
I was going to say that Lissa, the daughter in the show that kind of lived through all of these things and witnessed adult situations and the way her mom resolved things, I'm in the midst of writing the second book for that series. It didn't start out as a series, but Lissa became so prevalent and so damaged. Mm-hmm. And so I'm thinking about bringing her into another book as a main character with her own set of problems and her memory from Clothesline Blues.
Right.
So it's just something that I'm thinking about and working on, that and the contemporary fiction that I kind of playing around with a little bit now. But Lissa, that was something. It was a little disturbing to me to write that with her seeing so many adult situations, having the weight of the civil rights movement on her shoulders too, as a young black child going through puberty, she didn't have the freedoms to do whatever she felt like doing. So there was a lot for her to bear. And I think there's another good story there.
Well, and I think that that's why I was saying there were so many different elements and very intense elements to this book that and you know, of course I'm not African American, so you know, I came up, you know, in the 60s in know, in a predominantly black community and all of that. But can I say that I understand the intensity of of the situation? I can only to a degree, you know, and so I have a strong appreciation and respect for the story and, you know, and the history behind all of that, you know, but I definitely want to recommend to anybody. It doesn't matter who you are, what walk of life you come from. This is really, really a good read, but it also brings some history in it. So if you don't really kind of understand, it might help you just kind of grasp the how people in that era and in that situation felt about these things going on. It's one thing for us to, of course, not really learn the truth in school. So you have to really delve into doing some research if you really want to understand that era. Yeah. But this takes it into a personal, you know, setting that allows you to feel the characters and how they felt about living amongst that time. And I appreciate that about it, because sometimes I think seeing it from somebody's standpoint, it's just like when we watch History Channel or something, and you're able to, you know, hear the stories of somebody tell what it felt like to live. You feel it a little bit more versus reading in a history books or, you know, in articles or whatever. And so that's another element that I really, really liked about this book. So I say, you know, it touches on women, you know, and in a very subtle way, abuse. You know, and how that makes, you know, women feel vulnerability, being, you know, charmed into relationships, you know, and where does it go and how does that grow? And you know, the children element and finding out information and the craziness of the extent that somebody's mind can go. And so I don't know if you were the one that had posted up on Facebook or I had I remember seeing a post, something to the point of, what could you do that is so out of your norm if you were pushed to that point? Maybe it wasn't you that had put that up. But I thought that it was something really, really good to think, because you know what? The bottom line is, you really don't know.
You don't know. You don't know.
You know,
we can guess. And we can analyze it and say and be real practical about it. Mm-hmm. But if you're thrown into certain situations, you really have no idea how you'll react.
Exactly. And I think this book is a perfect example of that. That's why I think that even if you've never gone, well, of course, we have never gone to those extremes.
Oh, please.
Not that anyone knows of, anyway. No confessions here. But, you know, I mean, you can definitely feel it. You definitely can feel it. And so I would encourage you to do another book. And I think that Alyssa definitely is a strong character to be the main character of the next book.
Yeah. And it's so funny because she'll be my third character with a mental illness. So people are going to start thinking, oh, is she crazy? Because cold, crazy, the lady's crazy. There's three generations of crazy in that book. And then this poor child, you know, she's got her issues. Unbelievable.
Okay, what is that with you? Why do you write books about
that? I don't know. Now, see, people ask me, why do I write books about rape and abuse and women's issues? I said, well, I'm a woman. But this crazy thing, I don't think I'm crazy. You know, maybe.
Now, most crazy people don't think they're crazy, right?
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
So let me just throw this out to you. Do you think that you would ever write a romance novel or something less intense?
Yeah, that's one of my dreams, and it's been a dream of mine for many years. I would love to write a really sensitive, deep, touching, romantic story, romance novel. I don't know where to begin, you know,
okay.
or where it'll take me, but I know what I want to say, mm-hmm. you know. So, you know, maybe in 10 years or 20 years if I'm still around, maybe then. But it's just something I always dream about, this fantastic love that just goes on and on and on, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I think that you should, and that's one of the things that I when I have the opportunity to feature like an artist that does R&B soul music, and kind of takes it back to that classic sound, you know, of like real romance music, you know, the kind that, you know, when you used to go to the club and the gentleman tapped you on the shoulder and said, "Would you like to dance?" You know, and people just really dance, from what I understand. You know, they don't do that type of stuff now.
You say that because, mm-hmm. you know, like Walks in the Rain and things like that meant something back then. And then with that R&B swelling in the background, it was a fantastic love story. It's a fantastic time, you know, and we've gotten so far away from it. It's like this book that I'm trying to work now, it's a contemporary fiction of three women today.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep leaving it alone and going back to it because my mind is still pulling me back to that softer era. I don't want these women to be that hard, you know? And yet I still want to write the story. So it keeps bringing me back, you know?
And I think that, you know, the story of how things are now, I think it's an important story to tell. But the thing for me is, and the reason why I asked you, do you think you would ever write a romance novel, is I think that even if maybe we haven't really experienced it in our world, you know, or whatever, I think we can still express, whether we consider it fantasy, whether we consider it a dream or whatever, what we would like to to feel like. I guess what my point is that I'm trying to get to, Barbara, is the fact that I think that art is so powerful that in the messages that we experience through the art, we can feel it. And whether it's, you know, Clothesline Blues and we're like, I understand.
Right.
I think that when you read something that just feels good and makes you smile, because, girl, you hear that song. You hear that song from the 70s, 60s, you know, and you're like, that's my song.
Yeah.
You know, and it can take you to a place and you can remember where you were when you heard it, or, you know, situations that you were in, and it kind of makes you smile and stuff. I think that books can do the same thing, that it's like, oh, I want to feel like that. You know, I want to.
And I think everybody has that place where they want to go, even though a lot of us don't live it. We know romance and we know real love. And we know, you know, what it could be like, even though if we're not experiencing it right now. It's a place that people still crave. This generation and all the generations before, we've always craved that same thing. So,
you know. But I got you as far as, you know, wanting to write a story about, you know, somebody living within this time and what it's like and what it feels like and stuff. But, it'd be interesting to see if, you know, what you say, 10, 15, 20 years from now, if you write a romance novel, you know.
Yeah. But you know what? I'll tell you what. I think it'll take way more patience than I have right now to do a love story of that magnitude, you know, and to get in all the emotions that are involved in just being in love and being romantic. So I have to do that when I'm a little bit more settled mentally, and I think so. Anyway,
I think that was just a confession there. Okay, I think that B. Berry
kind of it was, huh?
Mental. So I, you know, let's talk just a little personal, if you don't mind. I know that you have, you know, adult children, and you have grandchildren, and I know that how important all of that is, you know, to you, your family.
Yes.
And first of all, I have to say, you all have some really strong genes when it comes to the women. What is that?
We all look alike. I don't know. We all look alike. It's crazy.
From the pictures of your mother, you know, and to your daughters and all of that, I'm like, wow, that's just amazing. Like, nobody could say that you weren't family.
I know. It's crazy to me, too. I have a sister, the one sister lives in Denver, and we're like clones. My brother looks, my brother is my other twin. You know, it's weird to look at them and see myself, you know, so positively, so crazy.
That is just absolutely amazing. But I know that your children are very important to you. And so what do they think about Mom being an author?
They love it. They love it. They're very encouraging, very encouraging. Usually when I sell a book or give a book, I never ask, did you read it? Have you read it? When are you going to read it? I won't do that to readers, you know. I leave that to them, and that's a personal thing. But for my kids, I can hound them, you know. And then when I realize one has read a book and they're very impressed and they call me and they want to discuss it or they want to say, well, why did you have her do that? Why not this? You know, I appreciate their interest, you know. It's really special.
Right. So are your grandchildren aware of what you do?
Yeah, and it's funny. I have my youngest grandson. He just turned 7 the other day, and he asked me to write a book for him because he reads all the time.
Okay.
And I said, I've never done a children's book, so I said, I'll think about it. Let me think about it, you know. But he loves that I'm an author. He's told his teachers in school, so I know he's proud. You know.
So do you see, like, any, you know, indication in any of your children or maybe even grandchildren that they may get into writing or some type of arts besides your son? Because I want to talk about your son also.
No. My girls, no. No. My oldest daughter, the one who lives in Boston, Holly, she's an artist. She paints in oil and acrylic, you know.
Okay.
CG, she's a medical massage therapist, but she loves doing crafts and things in the home and stuff like that. So they're artists, but in different
ways.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
At what
my
point
son,
did
you know,
you,
he's a,
well, yeah. Uh-huh. Let's talk about. Well, let's go ahead and talk about Tux. What do you now? I call him Tux, but his name is it Goy. What is it?
It's
what
Tux,
is it?
He calls himself Go Boy. But it's
okay,
Tux, but he changed the spelling. But anyway, he's Tux in Denver. And everybody in Denver knows this guy. Everybody knows him. All the clubs, he does the graphics for their posters and their ads and books the shows and things like that. So, and he has a radio show online, too.
Okay.
So he's pretty active in his community. And people just, they adore him. He's just
very
sweet.
It was so funny because, you know, my nephew's out there in Aurora, and he loves hip hop, and so I'm like, okay, you need to pay attention to this guy or whatever. And then I thought I was connecting the two of them, and they were already friends on Facebook.
And I put a bug in his ear too. I said, you need to give him a call and get him some tickets, you know, to see something. He said he's got something coming up soon, so I'll have to keep on him about it.
Right,
that'd
but
be nice.
It's so funny, but you know what? This is the mama coming out of me right now. This is maybe it's a little bit of lady flavor. I love the book covers he designed for you. I'm just gonna be honest.
Yeah. He did a really, really good job. I particularly like the Cold series with the cityscape in the back. He's really good at it, and then he changed Even Numbers as well.
Right.
I love the new cover. You know, he's really, really good at it, but I can't get him to do much more because he's got his hands in so many other different things, so he can't commit all the time. So, but he loves graphics, you know, he just loves it.
No, he's very, very good at it. Just a handsome man. Just a handsome man.
Yeah, that's my baby. That's my baby.
So is it hard to be a mama of, like, beautiful children?
No, they're not always beautiful. They're not always beautiful.
Okay, let's see how many of them are listening to this show right now. No.
Yeah, I'll call it in.
I totally understand, though. But, you know, I find it interesting, you know, being a mom, you know, and being a grandma and doing what it is that I do. That's why I was asking about your children, because honestly, I don't think my kids really have gotten it until now.
No, it's
like,
funny because they kind of don't get it. Yeah, because like we were saying at the top of the show, they're too close.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're too close. They see their mom or their nana, you know.
Yeah. I know, because my kids are like, Mom, can you like really just stop being Lady Flava and just be Mom right now? You know your name really is Susan.
Yeah.
But you're not two personalities, Mom.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
And now it's so funny because they get it and they understand more and how connected I am and this and that, and they're like, oh, that's kind of cool, you know.
Yeah.
And so now I don't get harassed at all about
being
Lady
Flava.
Yeah,
and they get a little
Flava.
Older and they're trying to do some of the same things. Maybe not the same things, but a lot of things are on the same path.
Right.
So they're kind of understanding things a little bit better, you know, that work is work, you know.
Right.
You have to do it. So,
I know. I think that I don't think that I could ever honestly go back to work for somebody else. I think that...
No.
I think,
and you were doing
bit...
fabulous work. The work that you did is just—it's awesome. You know?
Well, but you know, it helps, you know, in a sense, fuel why I do what I do for artists, why I talk about, you know, artists being responsible, you know, and how it affects people and all of that, because you know, when I believe in what in how our youth experience life. I think a lot of it comes through art and what they experience through art, you know, and music and, you know, and things like that. And so, you know, I will always, you know, advocate, you know, for artists to be conscious, you know, about what they're doing. Because you know what, Barbara, there isn't censorship anymore. There just isn't.
Right.
You know, no
right.
matter whether you stamp that symbol on, you know, a CD or whatever. There just isn't censorship anymore. Our children are exposed so much to just
everything.
Anything and everything. And so then it's up to us as the parents and the elders and the family, you know, to kind of help guide them and help them understand what that is and but to still keep that foundation of morals and values and all. You
and,
know.
You know, it, for some people it's very easy to do, and for others they don't. They have no bounds. It's just like, you know, I write about murder because, and I tell people this, it's not because of the act of murder, it's the audacity of the murderer, you know. And so I love getting into that mind. Now, when I write a murder scene, I could make it so graphic that people would drop the book. But in my mind, in my heart, I can't do that to people. You know, because none of us wants to really see that. We're curious about it happening, you know, but we don't want to be there like that, you know. Other scenes, you can take them right there. But there are certain things, unless that's a particular genre, you know. They have that separation.
Right. But I think that in your books, though, you know, I mean, sure, I could turn it around and bash you and say, Barbara, why are you writing books like that? That's giving people ideas.
Right.
But the thing, too, the way that I look at it and the way that I experienced your work is it's an eye-opener. You know, even for me, you know, because sometimes we get too comfortable in our surroundings.
Yeah.
And
right.
Joe Blow, who just kind of blends in at the grocery store, you may really not be aware how he's watching you.
Exactly.
You know, or things. And so, I think that it's good to have different reminders as to the mindset, potential mindset that you might run into, and just to be cautious, you know.
Right.
And so, you know, that's how I would take, you know, the writings too. It could be that guy at the coffee shop, you know, who's just like, you know, crazy or whatever, and just because somebody has a whole lot of money and lives in a really nice place doesn't mean that
they're
not
nice
capable.
Person. Exactly.
Right. You know, and so, you know, I could definitely take it in a different direction, but I think that's just my own mindset is how I watch shows and scenarios, and it just, it's not necessarily for, you know, getting into murder or getting into the abuse. It's just, I understand it, and for years I worked as a domestic violence advocate. And so, again, it's going back to those red flags and all of that. But I think that your writing's like perfect because it's to me, it's like real stuff. It's stuff that we think and feel. We may not act on that stuff, but it's stuff that we think and feel at times. And I just, again, I think it's just an eye opener. And I
Well, I
don't.
appreciate that. That's really, I appreciate your words. That's, and I think that the way I write includes a lot of us, mainstream, just a lot of people, and I think a lot of people can identify with it. And that may be sort of why I don't really take just one genre, because there are so many different things, in our lives, and I write about those things. And people can identify, So there's a little bit of something for everyone in
No,
each
there
story.
definitely is, and I would recommend all of your books. I really,
Thank
really
you.
would be one that would recommend all of your books to people, to read.
Thank
And
you.
and I'm kind of proud to be able to say that because I've read a lot of books, over the years, even though I'm kind of, maybe you broke me out of my reading issue because I was like, I was so, and then it was like, I went to sleep late last night. I was up at 6. I was like, I am getting this book read before my girl gets on the show. That is just so wrong, Flava. And
Goodness.
maybe you took me out of that because I haven't read Alvin's book yet, so.
He kept on me a little bit, and then finally I felt so bad. I said, let me get in touch with him and tell him I'm reading it now, So I finally did it and reviewed for him, So, oh my goodness.
I know, and I'm like, that's bad because he's my big brother,
I know he is. You got to get on that book.
So his book, maybe I had a breakthrough now and maybe I can read his book.
Yeah,
But
exactly.
I think that one of the things that I can't necessarily speak on it now, but back in the day, when a book is good, I talk to it. My kids would crack up like, Mom, who are you talking to? And then they would get in, they're like, oh, that's just Mom, she's talking to the book again. And I think that is really good. You start, whether you actually say words, you're reacting out loud. And I think that's what Clothesline Blues did for me, because I was like, oh. And then I did find myself trying to second guess what was going on in Lissa's mind, and why she wanted to go to the rally, okay, what direction? And I won't tell you the direction I thought maybe I was going in. And so that was, I mean, it didn't surprise me once I understood it, but I went in a different direction. That was just like kind of cuckoo. But so you are working on a couple of books right now.
I'm just not sure. One of them I'm going to have to put down and concentrate fully on the other. I just haven't decided which one it will be yet. But I do a little bit on both,
Do you think that you'll have another book out before the year is out?
I'm hoping so, because usually for my books, even the novella, it takes about a year for me to get it all formed in my head and get it down on paper. So, yeah, about a year. Maybe a year.
So just out of curiosity, when you write, is it just how the thoughts come in your mind and you write it in a section and then you piece it together later, or do you write it
I think it's a little bit of a couple of things because even what you're saying, I do a little bit of that, but I start writing books by hand, and Even Numbers was entirely handwritten. I just filled up a bunch of notebooks, and then I start with the input because when I start typing, I automatically want to edit, and it slows me down. But when I write, the thoughts just flow out of my head, and I can, I have a better grasp of the story and where it's going. But lately, I've been doing sort of a really, really loose outline. I say very loose because it always changes without a doubt. So just, you know, a beginning, a middle, and an end, and just base it on that. So I start out writing it in by hand, and then I'll go to the computer and just try not to edit so much.
Yeah, I was just kind of curious because I know, you know, in talking to even like I remember that back in the days of Flavor Coffee House and spoken word artists, they had these they had little scraps of papers with thoughts on them.
Yeah, props. Yeah,
and then all of a sudden they would piece it together into a piece, and I was like, that's just kind of really interesting. And so you know that I'm attempting writing my book, you know, which I believe is going to be called, you know, The Life of an Artist Cheerleader, and so I'm using a hand recorder, and I'm talking into it and telling my stories into this hand recorder, transferring it onto the computer into audio form, and then creating a file that I will go back to if I ever, maybe in 10, 15, 20 years, do
you
my
book. You will, because I'm going to be your cheerleader to bring out the cheerleader book. Definitely.
You know, and so I thought...
But see, it's different. It's so different for different people. Like, you can verbally do that. And then refer back to it. See, I can't. I was a speed typist. You know, that's what I did.
I
was an advertising agency for many years. So I type, you know.
Okay.
But my thought isn't there. Typing is just, I'm just typing off of copy. So
gotcha.
For me to write it all down, you know, and then go back there. But if you don't type and that's not your thing, I think the way that you're doing it, recording it, would be more beneficial, you know.
Well, I just, you know, I'm not good at typing. And, I mean, I can type if I was to sit there and had to, you know, but it's not like something that I like to do. And, you know, a page is, like, good for me. And then, girl, if you could see my handwriting.
You can't
I'm
go back and read
it. Girl, I'm like, what did I just write? Like, what is that? You know,
oh my goodness.
And so I couldn't, you know, I couldn't hand write anything. So for me, I think it's a good, you know, direction to go. And I think that's the beautiful thing about technology is that there are a variety of ways that people can create, you know. And and it's interesting when I ask that question of creative souls, you know, where the concept is and how they go about doing it. That part is kind of different. You know, for a lot of people, it's not always the same story. You know, a lot of times, you know, concepts of where it all comes from is maybe kind of similar. But, you know, so I like that, you know, in what you just
it's
shared.
It's very different. And, like, some people can do it in a way that I would never even consider, you know, and vice versa. They couldn't do it. Because when I type, I'm not reading it. I'm not paying attention to it. Like when I was at work, I could think about what I'm cooking for dinner and just type off of coffee. So I'm out of the room. Just my hands are there, you know? And I learned on a blank keyboard to type, you know, when I was a kid.
Okay.
So I don't even look at the keyboard. I don't, all I do is look right at the coffee and just type.
Wow.
So it's like I'm out of there, you know?
Okay.
But to write it, it gets in my head, you know, I pay more attention.
Okay. So, you know, we're going to run out of time. I knew that we were going to run out of time. But I do want to ask you about the jewelry that you make. Because it's not just writing. It's not just writing for you. You do more than that. And I know that you do more than just the jewelry. But how did you get into making jewelry?
Oh, my goodness. I make everything, Lady Flavor, everything. I sew, knit, crochet. Paint. I just do a lot of things, and it's busy work. See, I became disabled in 2005, 2006, and the kids are all gone, you know, and so it's idle time, and I just keep busy doing things, you know. So for me, it's fun. It's just fun.
Well, I can tell that you enjoyed it. You know, as yesterday I was sitting with Kimora. She wanted me to crochet her a squishy. I'm like, what does that mean? And so she goes and she starts grabbing my leopard stuffed animals because, yes, you know, I got to have leopard stuffed animals. I'm like, Nanny can't make you a stuffed animal. I said, how about a pillow? So we agreed on a pillow. And so then she wanted to try to do it too. And, you know, she didn't do too bad. She really just she didn't do too bad. But what I was telling people is that I think because of the repetitive action, it relaxes me.
Yes,
you know,
that's part of what I'm saying. Yeah, it does do that.
And so I kind of dig that. But I didn't know that you know what? This is new. I didn't know that you were so creative beyond writing books. And so
oh my
I'm like,
goodness.
Okay, she makes bracelets and she makes earrings. Like,
yeah.
Where did that come from?
I have such a fever for stuff, and I'll try something. It might last a year, and I'll stop. But the creative energy is always there, you know, like
okay.
I'm making a cushion for a window seat right now for my new grandbaby that's due next month. I'm always doing something, you know.
Okay.
There's a lot of little things that I like to. I like to make clothes. I used to design and make lingerie years
mm-hmm.
ago in Boston, you know.
Oh, okay.
I used to love doing that. So I'm always doing something crazy. You know, that's why my kids think I am crazy, because I'm always doing something.
That's wonderful, though.
Yeah,
I think it's a wonderful outlet to be, you know, creative like that. And so, you know, I wore my bracelets when I was in Vegas.
And oh, good.
It's so funny that, you know, I didn't take more pictures of Vegas, but I should have. But, yeah, your bracelets mm-hmm. went with me to Vegas. And so,
oh, good.
I don't know. I just think that I needed them with me. I just, they needed to go with me.
And
you know, it's kind of like this protection thing or whatever. I'm kind of weird, too.
Yeah.
So, okay, we'll claim some mantle. We'll
claim
some
something,
mantle.
Right?
But, and so I love that about you, too, as you know, all these years we've known each other, and I didn't know that about you. So the next thing I have to say to you, because at the end of the show, of course, I need you to tell people where they can find you and your books. Okay, what's with the baked goods? What's with the junk, fattening, food posts? Because
oh my goodness.
Now
because,
every time I see something that just looks like it's going to give me a heart attack, I'm like, let me send this to Barbara, because it's her fault that I'm even paying attention to this.
And you know what? It's all fantasy for me, because I can't eat any of it. So it's just I'm just actually torturing myself. But every time I see a nice high definition color picture of food, it's like, oh my goodness. You know, I put it out there for everybody else.
I'm like, this is just so not right.
Oh, goodness. It isn't. I know it isn't.
But it
I
is.
I know it isn't.
It's so funny, because when I, you know, you get used to kind of people posting certain things on social networks, right? And so when I see something about something, I'm like, oh, I need to send that to so-and-so. And I don't know why it is that I think about, like, baked goods and, you know.
And you want to put it on my wall.
Right. Cheese, macaroni, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know, I'm like, this needs to go right over to Barbara, because that's just what she does. And that, that's what, when I think of you, I think about that stuff. I'm like, it's just, it's dangerous. But luckily, I'm at a point in my life where I drink a lot of water. You know, I eat really healthy and, you know, lots of vegetables and things like that. So it's so funny, because a lot of it, I'm just going to say it, a lot of food that people post up that they cook looks nasty.
Mm-hmm.
Just looks just straight up nasty.
Yeah.
I'm like, that doesn't even look good. But
I know. I see them, too.
but the professional pictures you post up, they look just yummy.
Yeah. I'll
There's
only put up the professional ones, because the other ones. Oh, my goodness. I know. I see them all the time, and I'm like, that's what?
Right. Like, okay, yeah. I know my kids were clowning on people's Thanksgiving meals, you know, that they were posting.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's just, don't even post that. I don't know what made you think that. Good. No.
Oh, my goodness. That's crazy. That is crazy.
But
I see them all the time.
I'm so glad that you came on my show. I am so sorry it took 100 years for you to finally get here, but you finally got here. And I think, you know what, let's just say that it was meant to not happen until today, you know, because I knew that we were going to have fun. I know that we had stuff, you know, because you and I have history. And I think that's the fun and beautiful thing for me today is because, you know, I got to, you know, sit down on the leopard carpet with, you know, my seasoned sister and just, you know, talk about books, talk about family, talk about mindset and, you know, talk about baked goods and all that good stuff. So,
and we'll have to do it again. We'll have to do it again.
Oh, no, we definitely have to do this
definitely
again. And on Saturdays, you know, anytime you're up and you're not doing anything, you should call into my coffee house show because, you know, nobody calls into my coffee house show anymore. And it's the top show. I don't know if people just like to tune in to see what I'm going to say. I don't know if they think I'm crazy.
I used to listen more than I have been lately, but I used to try to write down all the names so I can look for the music, you know?
Okay.
And I really do enjoy your show, especially the jazz. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I need to get back to that. But the funny thing is that jazz artists don't reach out to me like other artists.
Yeah.
You know, and connect with jazz artists is a little challenging, you know, but I love jazz myself because that's kind of what I came up on is jazz, R&B, and soul. And so it is one of my favorite genres. But, Barbara, I appreciate you, my friend, B. Berry. And
thanks for having me. I'm
a big fan of you as an author, but I'm a big fan of you as a woman, and I have much love and respect for you. So, before we close out the show, tell people where they can find you online, how they can
follow you. You know, I'm always on Facebook, but also I'm on Twitter at BABSHTCB. You can find me there, and I'd love to get email. I would absolutely love to have people email me at BABSHTCB@gmail.com. So you can find me there.
And where can they find your books?
Anywhere books are sold. I've got a couple that are coming out. Cold Cereal, Cold Crazy will be coming out later in the fall, from what I understand. And then I guess sometime after that, the second in that series will come about. And hopefully not too far after that, I'll have something else for you to read.
Okay. Well, you definitely, I'm going to recommend that you pay attention because this is an amazing writer. And if you love writing, you need to get to know, you know, B. Berry, Barbara Grosvenor's style of writing, because I think that books are a beautiful thing. And I want to encourage you, you know, to get to know the writers that aren't on, you know, the bestsellers list and deserve to be. Because I think Social Network is one of the best places to find great creative souls. You know, I just do. And you know, it's an organic way. It's a grassroots way of getting the word out. But this is the perfect place is on the Internet to find those authors and writers and creative people that just are not known in, you know, the Barnes and Nobles or, you know, the grocery stores of the top 10 bestsellers, you know. So if you're paying attention to the show today, please pay attention to B. Berry and get her books. You will not be disappointed. You definitely will not be disappointed. So again, my friend, thank you so much for stepping on the leopard carpet with me. We definitely will have to do this again. And, you know, much success to you.
Thank you so much.
You know, all the books. And definitely now that I've finally read the book, yes, you'll get your review.
Oh, great.
and I hope this really did. You know, it was good for me to just force myself to do it. And then once I forced myself, I couldn't put it down. And I think that's why I didn't get much, you know, didn't get much rest. So my mama might need a nap this afternoon.
Yeah.
But, so definitely stay tuned and, you know, go find her. Go find her today and let her know that you listen to the show. And once you get her book, I want to really, really recommend that you write a review. That's one of the things that's really important when it comes to authors is to be acknowledged. You know, and even if you have some criticisms about a book, let the author know. That's okay, too. That really is okay. But the more reviews that an author has out there, it shows that their book is being read. And that's one of the ways that you can show your support. Also by hitting the share button. It takes no time to hit the share button.
That's for sure.
And that's one of the most important things, too, is word of mouth is a powerful tool. And that's why I do what I do. You know, but I'm only one person, so I need more cheerleaders out there to help spread the word for authors just like Bea Berry. So take care. God bless. Barbara, thank you so much, my friend, again, for coming on the Leopard Carpet with me today.
All right. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
All righty. Bye-bye.